Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
Hey, we appreciate y'all getting involved on the text line, 713-572-4610, and on the Mo Karam Injury Lawyer live streams, both on the YouTube page and the Twitch chat. There's still people weighing in on their various Astros memories from the run. Obviously, there's some sentimental ones, like someone who said in 17, their Uncle Mike had passed, or actually had been a diehard his whole life. He had a stroke with him while they were watching the Yankees series. So game three, you know, passed away. Called the cousin when they won. They went, kind of just enjoyed the championship by the grave. So always appreciate the ways in which sports can do that for you. And, of course, in an entirely different facet on the same thing with the Astros, memory was New York fans being so broken by the Astros that they were chanting FL Tuve at the Knicks game.
Someone also said, just real quick, only because it was wild, Ted Cruz getting a beer can thrown at him during the parade. We were there. The dude was next to us.
Yeah.
We were broadcasting from the parade, the victory parade, and everybody's like, obviously wild scene. And the dude was standing to our right, and I actually said it on the air that it's somewhere in our vault. I was like, I think somebody just threw something, and I didn't know at who or whatever.
Yeah.
Some dude threw a whole beer can.
And tried to cover it up like, I was trying to give him a beer.
Yeah,
you remember
and then he
that?
Walked away, and the cops just, rah, they
swore. Yeah, I don't know how you expected to make that one
I
walk,
tried
brother.
To give him a beer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, yeah,
that was
sure
live on our airwaves. I was like, wait a minute, I think something just happened.
Real quick, another one. I think about Dusty Baker. We talked about the Joe Kelly situation.
Oh, yeah.
And remember before that.
Oh, yeah.
Said, get on the mound, little bleeper. It was live on the air. Talk about hot mics.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, man. I love what the Astros have
Sean was right.
Time.
We could do 4 hours.
You could, yeah. You could do this all day long. Yeah. Keep them coming in.
A lot of random stuff, too. Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. It's really the random little things. Obviously,
it's not
the big.
It's
17,
not just that
22,
Jose Altuve home run against the Yankees. It's just a little small.
Aroldis facial expression.
Yeah.
All right. Not going to really parse down to the facial, or maybe we'll. I don't know. I don't know where your brain is at. But CJ Stroud talked to the media yesterday, and I would like to start just with an overarching perspective before we even get to like the idea of if you heard what you wanted to hear from CJ headed into a very big game versus the Titans at home. He sounded different to me, right? Mm-hmm. He sounded, it's because we've talked about it, how he sounded less like himself in the early weeks of the season. It felt a little bit more, maybe not even quite like the previous CJ that's really jovial,
right.
But he sounded a little more human and a little bit less like he was kind of really trying to find the right and the perfect answer in any instance necessarily. I don't know if that's the exact way to put it, but he felt more human is the word that kept coming to me.
You texted us that, and I was literally in the midst of listening to it. And not to say that's not what you...
That's not how you heard it?
I didn't hear it that way.
Okay.
You know, it's sort of still just not bad. And maybe it was the context, and we're going to hear some cuts here in a minute. Maybe just the frustration of, you know, we're going into week four. And I don't know exactly where you want to start, but, you know, he had a long pause when he was asked about the offense during one cut, during one answer. And then another one, he literally said about the offense and some of the things they want to see, I haven't seen it just yet on the field. And that was, to me, you know, he was pretty honest, but maybe that's why I didn't quite feel what you felt, you know?
Well, and I mean, I don't think honesty and humanity, I don't even know if that's the right word I should use, but like that feeling of almost genuine sincerity or whatever that I'm trying to get to, I don't know if those things are mutually exclusive, mm-hmm. but it felt a little different to me. I'm interested if you listened to it whole, especially listening here on Sports Radio 610 with The Drive, if you had that same sentiment. But talking about the offense in particular, that's the part that we need, right? Mm-hmm. As much as we've talked a lot about the defense, especially because of the personnel moves that have happened this week, this offense is still objective number one, 1A, 1B, 1C. You can also make it number two, number three. This is mm-hmm. going to be a huge determination and determinant of what the aptitude of this team is as you're trying to go and, you know, salvage what's happened early on. And so I thought it was interesting that CJ was asked if he was picking up the new system and how he's able to grasp it.
I wouldn't say it'd be difficult. It's just new, you know, like everything takes time. I think, you know, it's something that, you know, you just, as you keep going along, keep pushing forward. And I think sometimes failure is some of the best recipe for, you know, breakthrough. Even though it sucks, it's not good in the moment, but I believe that I'll be great from it, and I'm learning a bunch. I think our team is starting to pick it up. But yes, you know, like I said, it's a mixture of, you know, doing some of the old stuff, you know, that they've done in their past, you know, Nick, and but also, you know, doing some things that we're good at. So we're just finding that balance right now.
Nick and who?
That's a good question, because in the moment I thought about it and I was like, Nick and who?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, is that Szczepliński? Because those are the two guys that would be new to this.
I don't know.
What goes through your mind? Because I know that you're like, I don't know, but what is the thought? Because I can see there's something in there. Go ahead. Regular speculation sounder.
Casario, for one, who has his hands all over this offense. Well, we are. We're going to do exactly that. Szczepliński was one as well. Could be Jerod, but I think this is more about, you know, the new offense being more of a Patriot. Not more, it is. I mean, everybody knows it now. A Patriot-style offense. So I was curious on that. And then the other part of this one, and we're going to hear more from C.J. Stroud here, where I was just sort of like, I don't know if I feel good or not. You know, it's going to take time. We're still trying to... You know, we're still trying to get that. You got to go through the bad spots. I get that, and that's the right answer.
Do you believe it for him? Because I mm-hmm. when he's saying I'm starting to get a feel for it, I do believe him.
Oh, I definitely believe it. I don't know what the – I guess what it comes down to is I don't know what the buy-in is. I really don't. You know, based on, you know, the body language, the things he said, his demeanor, as you've talked about, maybe it was better yesterday. You saw it. I didn't. You know, the taking time – I don't know what the buy-in is completely with C.J. Stroud in this offense.
I mean, everything he says, which yeah. I guess is not the end-all be-all, but what we have to work off of, feels like it indicates that he's doing what he can mm-hmm. to make this work. And I mean, I still go back to seeing that touchdown pass on the double move where, you know, Nico Collins, you know, is able to take advantage of or get that cornerback to bite up against the Jags. I saw the exuberation. I saw the relief that came through, which mm-hmm. does not strike me as somebody who's not putting in, right?
Yeah.
Who's not like bought in on this. Like finally, mm-hmm. you're seeing the benefit of the toil show up
yeah.
in a way. Now, of course, that's one play when you need a lot more of them,
mm-hmm.
but I am encouraged in some ways. I don't even know to what degree or how I quantify it, that feeling of, okay, it feels like we're getting close. Now, of course, that close word really hits us. But this was C.J. Stroud cut six here. On how do you pick up the tempo? Because tempo is one of those mm-hmm. things that we've talked about, and I know even D'Amico has said, when they've looked the best, it's when they've been doing like things like two-minute offense and whatever. So, CJ, how do you pick up the tempo?
I mean, that's, you know, it could be going fast. It could be getting out the huddle faster. There's like a couple of different ways you can go about it. But, yeah, every offense wants to play with tempo and great urgency. We've been able to, you know, to get on the ball fast and do things well, like in that light. So yeah, I think that stuff has been good for us. And I thought we've gotten better with our huddle operation, you know, getting out the huddle faster. So yeah, all that stuff is, you know, great. And outside looking in, that's pretty much what that is. It's just being urgent to the ball and, you know, just playing, you know, making the defense kind of play catch up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts whenever it works for you.
That was the long pause I was talking
about.
Yeah. That was a good 2 seconds.
To be fair, the question was kind of interesting. It was like, from the outside looking in, how would you explain that call for like tempo? What do you think that means? So I imagine that some of this was gathering that. But the little chuckle that was in there, can you give me that pause and the chuckle at the beginning before we even get to the answer, just to get a little bit of a feel? I know that we're Zapruder filming in this, but I just want to hear one more time, if you don't mind.
Come on. I don't know what to make of that. He was definitely being measured with what he said in terms of up-tempo, et cetera. I do fully expect to get a bigger dose of that, to get a bigger dose of the 2 minute type, maybe not 2 minute drill, you know, rush, but certainly get to the line, don't sub. That I fully expect to see a bigger dose of that.
Especially because when this team can, the few times that this team really, especially on the offensive line, finds a way to get hat on a hat, get a seam, they can create some big. We've seen a few like 7, 8, 10 yard runs with like Chubb or even Marks, and it feels like. What might be helpful is to, all right, go up and run it, or maybe not run it again, but have
get
a little
right
bit
to
of,
it.
So that you don't allow the defense to substitute. They can't make some adjustments. Like with how few answers you've had that have been correct right now, and that sounds harsh, but I think we've all seen this. When you do get a right answer, I kind of want you to hit the answer until it stops working, and then move it along. Especially if you're not going to be running an offense in a way that sets up. One play to the next. If that's not going to show up as evidently as it hasn't early on, at least be able to use some of that tempo, use some of the inability to substitute to your advantage. And I imagine that's a large reason why D'Amico was so mad and what he said was towards a ref on the sideline not allowing them to go with tempo, because like this is one of the few things that's shown an opportunity to be successful, and you're slowing us down.
Yeah, no, I think that's what they're going to lean heavily into. But again, it is still about getting those bigger plays, making it happen. We talked to Andy Kalu earlier. He said they need, they need 4 or 5, big chunk plays. Well, they've had 2 for the year.
Yeah.
And so.
The thing about the tempo, and it can't you can't make the entire plane out of up tempo. Right.
Yeah.
But I do feel like, especially as offense, I think when you're doing it right, is about creating mismatches or getting a defense off balance. It feels like they have so few ways of doing that.
Yes.
So yes, one of the ones that they seem to have, like, again, I still go back to the Jaguars game, and early on in that game when I see Trevor Lawrence step up to the line and start, using hard counts, I'm like, oh, wow, why did I not think of that? Like, even if you don't have as good of players to line up against number 51, Will Anderson Jr., against Danielle Hunter, number 55, one of the things I know that I can slow him down with is I can use a hard count. There's so many things in football that a experienced play caller can use to help themselves. And I feel like you haven't seen enough of those. So if you have tempo in your pocket that you know that you can execute and that can create some level of advantage, you got to utilize it. You got to lean on the things that you can do well, and that's one of them.
Yeah.
With CJ Stroud, he was also asked about how this situation has challenged him as a leader to this point.
Yeah, I think every year has its own challenges, I know everybody always brings up like the past, but every year is different. And for me, I think in my past, like, there's times where it gets hard and you just try to get past it instead of like leaning in to like see what you can learn from. And right now I'm just in that process of like doing both, fighting through it, getting through it, and then also leaning in and seeing what I can learn about myself, about this team, about, the NFL, about defense. So to me, I think it's something that, of course, it's new to me. Like, I haven't started like this yet in the NFL. But also, I've had this happen in my career before. I'm just learning. I wouldn't say as a leader, it's surprising, that it's challenging. But I think that's what's dope about being a leader is, when everything is tough, who keeps the faith? And I think that's, for me, is like, the definition of faith is like of what you cannot see. Like, are you going to trust that? Because everybody, if God appeared right here, I'd be like, oh, I believe in God now, it's easy, you know. I know that's a whole different subject, but that's kind of like how I think about it. Like, I'm going to just, as a leader, keep the faith, knowing that I haven't seen it just yet on the field.
That was a tough one for me, you know.
What made it tough?
Because he's talking about, you know, still learning, mm-hmm. trying to get it on the field, and I haven't seen it on the field just yet, you know, because I think it's tough on him, you know, whether he really is – You know, we none of us have seen it on the field yet.
Correct.
But whether he
and if you have, I need to know what you're smoking. Honestly,
yeah, because you want to get there fast. We're going into week four. It's kind of time to really start seeing these things. And you could sense from him, like, I want to believe in this, and that's why I talk about the buy-in. I don't know what his buy-in is. I want to believe in this. I'm keeping the faith. You know, he talked about that, and yet I haven't seen it on the field yet. Everybody's human. You know, at some point, is there going to be some skepticism or doubt about this offense?
That is a good question. And I feel like it won't be. Well, and that might not be the case. But what I was going to say is I feel like it won't be CJ who loses the faith early. Mm-hmm. I do wonder if we're going to make this a triumvirate of people that it matters for. The evaluation process of Nick Caley early on, because clearly hot seat, whether or not there's an acknowledgement of it. CJ, D'Amico Ryans, Nick Caserio, who loses the faith first there?
Well, I think the most obvious answer is CJ. You know, this is new to him. You just heard him say it multiple times. I don't know if he really believes that this is the best offense, the best approach for him. I mean, every quarterback wants to let it rip, you know, and every quarterback wants to be able to have concepts that can open receivers and make for easy throws. That is the number one thing for me with this offense. I think the concepts are very rudimentary. And if I can see it, they're in the meetings every day, they're at practice every day, I think they know it. And then I think he wants to make it life a little simpler on himself.
Well, look, this is another week. That one was the most concerning for me, if I'm going to be entirely honest, when it comes to it. The idea, okay, we're figuring out, I haven't seen it yet, and almost pointing to the idea that when do we see it? I don't know, but we will see it eventually. Mm-hmm. Eventually ain't good enough. You need to start. You need to start and start seeing a lot of it soon. Mm-hmm. Sunday, in fact, at noon, I need to start seeing it for against the Titans for this Texans team. You'll be able to hear that, obviously, here on Sports Radio 610. All right, you're in the loop. Coming up next, let's get to our lunchtime confessions as we always do, and we will do those next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.